on radio, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers. This is InvestTalk, above average investing for the average investor. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, KPP Financial President, Financial Advisor Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Friday edition of InvestTalk, the Friday, June 19th, 2015. And we're here to be a meeting place for discussions about your money, to be maybe a handy resource of answers to your questions, and maybe provide some information that you otherwise wouldn't get. At least that's hopefully what we can do, give you some perspective. As much as we all want to have perfect control of our lives, we really don't know. We really don't have that control. We try to prepare for eventualities, you know, but we really don't know. And part of that, as an investor, part of that is factoring in the unknown and then make, you know, some uncomfortable decisions of what we can do to protect ourselves. But, you know, in today's reality with, you know, fiscal cliffs and debt ceilings and unemployment rates and super low interest rates, Greek exit, what Russia's going to do next week, you know, all these bits and pieces of information is very difficult to, you know, to analyze and determine what effect they're going to have on your portfolio. It always is. So really, how much control do you really have? Well, we can't know. And there's no guaranteed success. But you can set goals. You can talk about probabilities, because there's all these millions of different possibilities. We can talk about probabilities. So you have goals and probabilities and an effort to try to achieve them. And that's all. That's all you can do, really. Slow, steady growth, common sense decisions. You know, try to keep your mistakes small. And, you know, I can't guarantee anything, but you'll be a lot farther ahead in the game if you can do that. And that's going to be our goal, to help you get there. Make those common sense decisions, set goals, and try to make good, sound investment decisions. Okay, so you're going to have to make them anyways, no matter what. If you put money aside for retirement, you got to do something with it. So, if you feel a little bit overwhelmed by the process, well, maybe I can help you. And, of course, we try to help you during this hour, so give us a call. We're live 4 to 5 Pacific time. Our number is 888-99-CHART. So let's go ahead and take our first question for the day and our 24-hour listener line, and it's always open, 24 hours, 7 days a week.
Hi, Steve. My name is Rui. I'm calling from New Jersey. I'm looking to invest in Mexico. I'm looking from, I don't know, stock ETFs. Can you help me out with that? Thank you.
Bye. Well, I know there's a Mexican ETF, it's not EWM because that's Malaysia, but EWX? No. There is an ETF. All you have to do is go in and do a search, a Google search, and type in exchange-traded fund from Mexico, and you'll come up with it. I just don't know what it is off the top of my head. And that's probably the better way to do it, either buy an ETF for the Mexican market or buy a mutual fund, a no-load, no-transaction-fee mutual fund that is specifically for Mexico. But if anybody knows the symbol off the top of their head, I'd be happy if you, I would love if you give me a call. We'll just pass that along. And I'm sure I'll come up with it. There's so many ETFs these days. I just can't keep track of them all. It's too hard. Anyways, investors are finding bonds with plumper yields and stocks that beat the S&P 500 in emerging markets. It was part of our most recent webinar and the conferences before that in the last, about 4 or 5, 6 months. And that's going to be one of our talking points today. Smaller economies, bigger returns. The problem with this is it's now been talked about. Everybody's been doing it. And now my concern is it's too popular now? Or is everybody, you know, when too many people know about it and everybody's invested in it, then it's over. I don't know if it's over, but I know from experience that that's exactly what happens. You know, so So we'll talk about it. It's going to be our main talking point today. No one knows where the market's going, but I'm going to give you, but there's a but to that. No one knows where the market, but I'm going to give you a but. So we're going to talk about valuations of the overall market and future and past equations as to whether this is overvalued, undervalued market. Do you know what the return has been in the last 15 years, for instance? Go back 15 years. What's been the return of the market? The S&P 500 I'm talking about. What percentage per year over 15 years do you think the S&P 500 has given you? We'll talk about that. China stocks, they fell 6.42% this week. What? They're one of the hottest markets this year. But we might want to talk about what's going on there. The five were selling cars. I always like that. On Friday, I always like to bring in a little bit of something else is interesting. The five worst selling cars, and a little bit as to why. And yesterday we didn't get to it, but I might try, I'm hoping to get to it today, why $1,200 an ounce for gold is kind of important. It reached that this week. It's going to stay there. So those are things we're going to talk about. And of course, I'd rather talk about what you want to talk about instead of me. So give us a call. We'll talk about that. The market was down today, 104 points on the Dow, 18 points on the NASDAQ, and 12 points on the S&P. The NASDAQ fell the least. It held up the best today. Why did the market fall today? Well, the speculation is Greece. Why is that in the news? Well, there's speculation that maybe the banks, Greek banks, won't be opening on Monday. May not open on Monday. The Greek citizenry have been pulling money out in gigantic amounts out of their banks, trying to get them out of their banks, and for good reason, too. I would. Right now, you know, they pull the money out in euros, and they put it somewhere else. But the banks, the government there could easily freeze that withdrawal rate. It could be easy to put controls on it so you can't get to your money. Then it could decide to leave the euro and print its own money and say, okay, now you get your equivalent of your euros you can withdraw in now Greek money. And instantly, no one's going to want that money and your value of your euros fell like a rock. So you don't, you know, your new money is worth much less than your old euros. That could happen. That could happen in a day or two or three. A week. There's a big worry about that. And by the way, I do, a lefty called from San Francisco, lefty, the Mexican ETF is EWW, and I should have remembered that. I kept putting in EW different letters instead of EWW. That's the iShares Mexican ETF corresponding to the Mexican IMI 2550 index. So that's the Mexican ETF if you are interested in. We have some new check updates for you for July. Gosh, I can't believe it, July already. I'll be in San Diego County on July 18th and San Jose on July 15th. So if you want to schedule time, I filled up this last time. I spent 2 days there this week up in the Bay Area. So I am scheduling another time up there quickly because I don't want to have anybody not be able to meet with me if they want to. So please, if you want to meet with me in the Bay Area, go to investtalk.com and click on make an appointment or call 888-99-CHART and leave a message. And of course, we're open for questions right now. Same number, 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So what's on your mind? What do you want to talk about? Let's talk about smaller economies offering bigger returns, and that would be basically the emerging markets. Money has been pouring into these economies this year, okay? And I understand why, because they had a relatively higher value and their stocks are less expensive and higher growth relatively to our market. And so, you know, money you know, flows to those kinds of numbers. And you can diversify your portfolio away from the United States by doing that. And we recommended that, doing that some time ago. And obviously that has been what people have been doing. And now emerging markets have been returning better here this year than the U.S. Of course, this year in the U.S., our markets are flat for the year. I mean, there's virtually no return. So any return is good, the money has been pouring in. This is my concern. Money has been pouring into these emerging markets on these smaller economies like crazy this year. And at some point, the money itself drives the market, not necessarily the fundamentals of the stocks and the corporations of the stock markets in those economies. But fundamentals look pretty good, but with too much money pouring in there, it's too fast, and I worry about that being hot money and being pulled out of there just as fast as it's been put in there. And long term, I think emerging markets, you need to have some exposure there. Now that was different this year than I've been saying in previous years. I've been saying come back to the United States, invest in the U.S. But I think that has, and I'm not suggesting you leave the United States. I'm just saying that we've had a very good run, especially high dividend paying stocks, big blue chip dividend paying stocks. And now that they're not as attractive as they were, and other places are more attractive. I think even in our own market, the growth companies are more attractive than the value companies. So, because value is many times equates to dividend yields, and people have been reaching for the dividend. So I'm just a bit concerned about the emerging markets now with too much money. But I don't think I'd avoid it. I'd just be very careful where I'm going. I still think you need to be there. And we're having a pretty decent correction in China, which may pull down other emerging markets in Asia, which then may give you a buying opportunity sometime this summer. Same way with our own markets. Maybe we'll get a buying opportunity sometime this summer. So, I mean, our market, everybody's always worried about, and I'm going to talk about that, about our market, and because no one really knows where our market's going to go. Anybody tries to tell you they do, they're lying, because they don't know. No one knows. It's unknowable. But there are probabilities that you can look at. There is history that you can compare with. And I mentioned yesterday and in the newsletter today, we might be at a new normal in interest rates. And if we are, new normal meaning very low rates, and if we are, then we all have to adjust to that new normal. I'm not saying interest rates are not going to go up, because I think they are going to go up, but slowly, very slowly. And we're not going to be the rates are going to be, until we see pressure in inflation and pressure with more jobs being created, putting everybody to work, and salaries starting to go up. So we see that inflation pressure, both in salaries and prices of goods and services. There's no reason for interest rates to rise, really. So I think that that pressure is nowhere, anywhere in sight. So why is the Fed so concerned about raising rates? Only because the rates are so low. They want to get it back to more normalization. I don't, but the new normal might be low anyways. Not this low, but low. So, the Fed wants to be able to fight the next recession also. So they need higher rates to do so. So they would like to have higher rates. But the Fed, I think, has recognized a new normal as well, because they're saying they're going to raise rates, but they're not going to be very fast about it. So that may mean that they're comfortable with where the low rates. Who says? So we'll see. Use our listening line right now and try to give me a money question. I really want that. So try me out. Try me out with any of your money questions. If I don't know the answer, I'll say it. I don't know the answer. I try to help anybody I can with financial questions. 888-99-CHARTER is our number. You can call right now.
Thanks again for subscribing to our podcast. Just 13.8% of U.S. households directly owned stocks in 2013. This is the lowest level in 18 years. Why are stocks less popular? That's our next talking point on InvestTalk.
888-992-4278. Let's talk to Jimmy in Mountain View. How are you doing, Jimmy?
Hi, how are you, Steve?
Good. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, so I'm keep on listening your show on 1220, and I like your show. So I have a question regarding VDSI. So should I buy or hold or just sell it in this economy?
Well, you know, Vasco Data Security International, VDSI, it is a $1.3 billion company growing its sales. It's increasing growth of sales quarter over quarter. So that's very positive. And the last quarter increase was 68%. So before that was 44%. Before that was 34%. So it's increasing the growth of its sales. That's pretty impressive. And it's going to make $1.04 this year and $1.20 next year per share. No debt. Management owns 23%. If you owned it, I would tell you to hold on to it because it's on an upward trend and it broke out a resistance about a week or so ago. I would hold it if you owned it. If you bought it,
okay.
If you bought, do you already own it, Jimmy?
Mm-hmm.
Do you own it?
I'm listening.
If you already own it?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, you hold on to this guy because it could very easily keep going up because of the acceleration of its growth. Okay?
Okay.
Good luck.
All right.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much, Steve.
Yeah, congratulations. That's VDSI, everybody. Vasco Data Security International. And the PE is 26. It's not like it's a huge 100 PE, 200 PE. No, it's not cheap, but with that kind of growth, I think it deserves it. I really do. Okay, talk about gold. I want to talk about gold earlier yesterday. Gold has hit $1,200 an ounce or so. It was up 25 bucks, was it yesterday, the day before? And it's right at an inflection point of breaking out or falling back. But just so you give a little context, this time of year is usually the worst time for gold prices, the price of gold. Why? Because you have different seasons coming up that mean gold prices, gold demand increases. You got Ramadan, you got weddings in India, you have China who's constantly buying more and more gold. You have our holiday season coming up, and usually gold, you know, demand goes up. And with gold at about $1,200, that's the sweet spot for producers between their profit and loss. So, you know, there's not a lot of pressure to continue opening new mines, but there is, so old mines are going to stay running and be profitable. So I kind of like this area in the price. I'm not a big gold person, even though I have some gold positions. They're not usually long-term positions for me. But, you know, my job is to make money and protect my clients' money at the same time. And I think gold can do both, give you some protection and have some increase in value going forward. And I like the fact that it's, you know, it's put in a clear double bottom and it looks like it's working its way off of that bottom to me. On a chart, I like what I see for gold. Okay? 888-99-CHARTER is our number, 888-992-4278. That's one of the talking points I wanted to get to that I didn't get to yesterday. Our first priority is always answering questions, however. So let's pick a call that came in before today's program on our 24-hour listen line, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, guys. It's Scott from Denver. I listen every day on your podcast. I have a quick question about a symbol, URR. It's a 3x bullish outlook on the euro. I've just got a quick question. It's more not around so much stock, but about the euro with everything happening with Greece. I do have this in my portfolio. It makes up a very small percentage, about 5%, but I'm wondering if the time is to get out. And I see two things really weighing on it, the weaker dollar, but also I'm not really quite sure what's going to happen to the euro if Greece does leave that currency. Can you just weigh in on both of those levers on this ticker and let me know what your outlook is in the short term? Thank you.
Okay, this is the market vector double long euro. It's a double means, double long means it's 200% leveraged. And the Greece problem we're seeing here, I think if it leaves the euro, I think it strengthens the euro, to be honest. I think there'll be turmoil while that's happening, and the euro might be volatile during that period. But after the event, or after things calm down, or after Greece gets out of the EU, I think the euro is stronger. I think the euro will get stronger because I think the economy of the EU will get stronger. Remember all that QE they're doing? And I think URR, if you look at the chart, it is triple bottomed and it's worked its way off that triple bottom. I think you kind of hold on to it at this point. Yeah, it's scary with the Greece issue. It's scary, but I don't think they are going to impact the euro that much. And if they do, and they lead the euro, the EU, I think it's going to help. Not hurt the euro, help the euro. Maybe the tellers are rude. Of course, there's debts, you know, debt issues, and that's going to affect it. Maybe the tellers are rude that you're a bank. Maybe there's high fees, but maybe you should be careful. Maybe consider carefully before you decide to move. Coming up on Invest Talk Personal, right here on Invest Talk, we're going to talk about banks. Where can you turn for straight talk with your money? Hopefully here. 888-99-CHART.
Appreciate your show and your educational value of it.
Invest Talk is here to help.
Thank you.
And we thank you for listening.
Love to talk to you. Job number one, of course, is answering questions. Our 24-hour list line is always open. And the same number, 888-992-4278. And here's a caller that came in earlier.
Hi, this is Tim from Texas. I listen on podcasts. I was calling to get your opinion on Ford and GM. I've been thinking about buying Ford, and I was just wondering if you thought this was a good buy point, and also if you could compare it to GM. Thank you.
I do like Ford. I do like Ford at this price, to be a matter of fact, because you're getting 4% yield, dividend yield, and their dividend is pretty solid. Sales have been kind of weak the last four quarters, have fallen, but that's because they had really good sales a year ago. Still, you know, I like Ford better than GM. They're going to make $1.59 this year, $1.88 next year, and it's a $15 stock. So that's a less than a 10 PE. I kind of like the numbers. There's not, you know, the management owns 1%. Mutual funds are slowly buying. I like Ford better than GM. GM is nothing wrong with GM. I just don't think I don't think it's run as well as Ford is. That would be my opinion. So I do like Ford at this. Within the last year, it's been about 17. It's been as high as $18, and now it's at 15. It's not at a low range, but it's, you know, for the earnings, I think it's a decent buy right here. I do. Hopefully they'll get their sales growing again. I hope that happens. So we'll see. 888-99-CHART. No one knows where the market's going. No one does. But, you know, there is historical norms that you can look at. And maybe it's a new norm. I'm not even telling you that it's not. But there are ways to judge the long-term valuation. Over the last 15 years, the S&P 500 has returned 5% per year. 5%. That's not really good. The long-term average of the last 100 years is closer to 10. But we only had 5. And we had, remember, in the last 15 years, you know, you had big up moves and down moves. It's 2015. So don't think it's been a great run for the last 15 years. You go back 20 years and then, you know, the numbers go up. But, you know, long term, you look at the P.E. ratios, the Shiller P.E. ratio, the Tobin Q ratio. There's different things to buy us Q ratio. There's different things to look at. And if you focus on the Shiller P.E., which averages 10 years of earnings and figure out the P.E. ratio of the stocks, we're about at 27.38. Okay, that's the Shiller P.E. The average Shiller P.E. from 1880 onward is 16.6. We're at 27.38. Okay, so maybe we're at a new normal. Maybe the Shiller P.E. will be higher in the future. Well, what if you say, well, let's say it's 20 instead of 16. What is that, the new normal, higher? 10 years in the future, what will that do for us? That'll give us about a 6 to 7% return per year for the S&P 500. Now, again, no one knows where the market is going. I don't. And, you know, these numbers, I'm just looking at the historical numbers. And what that does tell me is that our markets are a bit overpriced based on long-term norms. Can it be more overpriced? Of course. Don't think, just because it is this cost, what's to stop the Shiller PE going to 30? It could. It could. Stock prices keep going up. But at some point, it's going to revert to normal. And it can do that in two ways. Prices can come down. Earnings can go up. Or, of course, it could be a combination of both. Well, there is one other way. Prices could go sideways for several years. Sideways. Don't go up, don't go down. Just trade in a range. That's possible, too. Because if they go sideways and earnings keep coming in, that drives down the Shiller PE ratio, right? Drives down the regular PE ratios, everything. So that's what could happen. Those are the things. I just want people to put it in perspective. Our market is overvalued, but it could stay there. But you want to pay attention to the probabilities. And the probability is building that we'll at least have a pretty decent correction. At least. Time for InvestTalk Personal, the day-to-day money decisions we make that can have a lasting impact on our finances. Okay, you're thinking the grass is greener about your bank. The grass is greener, go to a new bank, maybe a friendlier bank, maybe you just don't like your bank. I've had a couple run-ins with my bank just recently, and I'm not very happy with them, but I'm probably not going to change. But some of the things, if you decide to change, and some of the things you need to consider, monthly cost of your checking account. Some banks charge for that. Mine doesn't, but some banks do. Overdraft fees and overdraft protection options. Now, I don't really like those. I know I've never used them and never have used them, but you might, and you want to consider what they will be. ATM availability and the costs of using ATMs. Online features such as billing payment services, mobile account access, branch locations, where are they, how many? And maybe you like maybe some of the perks on credit cards. I like that cash back credit cards, I do that. And, of course, the ability to bundle all your needs at the bank. And, those kinds of things, what you think about before you switch. Now, just like any other business, a bank, you have to understand they're in the market. I know some banks that you go there, they don't have hardly any tellers. And if you want to bank in person, you don't want to move to those banks. If you like the bank in person, there are certain banks that don't have very much customer support other than online. So make sure you go to the bank that you're going to want to change to at rush hour and see if there's a big long line trying to get your business done. Okay, that's InvestTalk Personal. Do you have questions about banks, credit cards, or anything financial, emergency cash? We're right here, 888-99-CHART. Or you can write me a note. Just click on Contact Steve at InvestTalk.com.
Steve just updated his sector ETF watch list, and it's available to all InvestTalk insiders. You can sign up for this free InvestTalk Insider program on InvestTalk.com. And right now, there's time for your question about money. No need to save it up. Check in now at 888-99-CHART.
Hi. My question is regarding reverse mortgages. My father-in-law is a retired gentleman and would like to pull some equity out of his house. He's talked about doing reverse mortgages with banks and found it to have a bunch of restrictions and fees. We're in a situation right now where I have a fair amount of cash that I'd like to invest in real estate and really don't understand, how I would do this with him and if it's a good idea, when title would transfer, et cetera. So that's my question. How do they work? Thanks.
Okay, well, there's many ways to do that. You're going to pretend that the easiest, simplest way is pretend that you're selling the father's property. How much is it selling for? Let's say it's selling for $1 million and you have $100,000 to invest. Well, if that's the value, the appraised value is $1 million, and he has no mortgage, and may not, because you're talking about a reverse mortgage. You may not have any mortgage. You put give him $100,000, then you're a 10% owner of that property, right? So now he has money, and you're a 10% owner. Now, how do you legally become a 10% owner? Well, you want to be on title. There's different ways to do that. You can set up a partnership and own this as a partnership, own the house as a partnership, in which he owns 90%, you own 10% of the partnership that owns that house. There's different ways to do it, and I think you really need to talk to some accountants, an accountant, CPA, to help you with that, because you want to do it the most tax-efficient way that you can. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with the reverse mortgages. I am not opposed to reverse mortgages. I think it's a good last resort, not necessarily a first resort. If you want to stay in your house until you die, that's your desire, then, you know, a reverse mortgage is a good idea. Because you never have this for everybody else. You never, when you get a reverse mortgage, the bank is paying you, okay, giving you money, loaning you a money that you can use for anything you want, that you never have to pay back. It's using the house as the collateral. When you die, your heirs need to pay back the loan, and that means they probably have to sell the property to pay back the loan. Or they can refinance the house, pay back the reverse mortgage loan, and now they have a regular mortgage on the property. A reverse mortgage is usually very expensive to get into, even though prices have come down. They usually charge a lot because they don't get a penny until you pass. If you move from the house, you have to be a tenant in that house. If you move from it, then you need to pay back the reverse mortgage. And that's always an issue. If, you know, well, when's the definition of moving from it? If you are temporarily disabled and have to go into a home or, you know, long-term care somewhere, have you moved from the house? Well, there's a time frame. They're not unreasonable, but there's a time frame that you have to do something. Okay? Did you notice that China's stocks fell 6.4% this year? This week. And that's the main Shanghai composite. The Shenzhen benchmark fell 12.7% since June 12th. 12.7%. When's the last time we saw that kind of correction? That's only a couple of weeks. It's not even a couple of weeks. 8 days. 12.7%. You know, so now both these, the Chinese market has been pretty hot, been pretty good this year. So they've been some of the best performers for the year. But this is what happens when everybody rushes into the market. China, the government of China has approved of, in the last couple of months, $50 new issues listings on their exchange per month. So that's a huge amount. That's over one new IPO a day after day after day for 2 months. Month and three quarters. That's 50 a month. So you can see that the supply of stocks. Also, if you pay attention. Millions of new stock accounts have been opened up this year on the Chinese market because the government allowed people to have more than one account, and they allowed they opened up the market a little bit, and millions of Chinese poured money into these markets, taking money out of real estate, put them in here. This is pretty hot money, everybody. You see how fast it left with 6.4% fall in 1 week. So be very, very careful when you're investing in these markets. This is what can happen. Very volatile. Very high volatility. Doesn't mean you avoid it completely, but, you know, don't chase. Remember we talked about this yesterday? Don't chase returns. Don't chase it. You know, you want to invest based on cold, hard facts and say, don't look at a chart or look at numbers and say, hey, this thing has gone up so much, I'm going to get in. That shouldn't be your thinking. The thinking should be, oh, hey, this thing has gone up so much, I better be very careful. That's not normal. That's what you should be thinking. Now, that doesn't mean it can't keep going up, because many times it will, but no one will tell you. There's no bell ringing at the top, and then all of a sudden it collapses. Down 6.4% in 1 week. Yeah. So be very, very careful. Now, don't save your questions, everybody. If you have a question that is, you know, about basics, the fundamentals, or the technicals of a stock or a strategy you want to discuss, give me a call, 888-99-CHART.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. This is Frank calling from Walnut Creek, California, and I'm calling regarding a company called GNC Holdings. That's the parent company for the GNC health food stores, and I'd appreciate if you take a look at them. Tell me what you think. I'd appreciate it. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, GNC sales have been going down 1% a quarter for the last three quarters, so they're kind of flat. Before last year, they were growing, you know, in the 7, 8, 9% per quarter, but now this year they're not. Operates 3,500 company-owned and 3,200 GNC franchised nutritional stores worldwide. Okay, and 2,269 GNC locations within Rite Aid. So they're even in Rite Aid stores. They're out of Pittsburgh. And the numbers look pretty decent as far as earnings. Earnings have been going up every year. They're going to be up 6% this year and 12% next year. Sales is what I'm worried about. Their stock is not, you know, terribly overpriced. It's at 16. The stock is $46 a share. I think it has a ton of resistance at about $48, $49 a share. So I don't think you want to buy it in this range. You either want to buy it when it breaks out or when it pulls back again. And it did pull back to almost 40. You know, that would be a much better place. 41, right in there would be a much better place to buy. And I think, it pays 1.6% dividend. I would be more comfortable. Management owned more. They don't own very much. And mutual funds are, kind of just holding on to it. They're not really increasing or decreasing. So there's not a lot of reason to say, gee, what's going to happen? I literally love this company. It's got a good growth story. Well, I don't know if they do have a good growth story. I think they're a mature company at this point. Okay? That's GNC Holdings, everybody. GNC. It's time to get your question before the last segment of the show. 888-99-CHART. That's how you can reach me. Any money question is a good question.
What are small cap stocks? What makes them act differently than large cap stocks? What's your question? Why not ask it now at 888-99-CHART on InvestTalk. Our podcast distribution is made possible each day by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President. Here's something to think about. If you find yourself worrying too much about money stuff, what happens today in the market really won't matter in 20 years when you're ready to retire. Remember, your timeline is your own. So do yourself a favor and make investing decisions based on what your time frame requires. You'll sleep better.
888-992-4278. Let's talk to George and Sam Bruno. How are you doing, George?
I'm doing good. Got a good question for you. A company called Juno, J-U-N-O. Pharmaceutical.
Yep.
They took a drop not too long ago. It's a fairly new company, IPO-wise. I think it got a couple quarters under their belt. But they took a nice little drop, and then they took another drop 2 days ago. And I think it's insider. They had a window for the insiders to sell their options or something like that, and they took a drop, 12% or so. Just want to see what your outlook is and whether it's a good spot to look for the long haul.
Okay. Juno Therapeutics, everybody. Every stock, George, every IPO, 6 months after it IPOs, the restrictions of the owners are lifted and they can start selling the stock. So it's very common for an IPO 6 months after an IPO to sell off a little bit, sometimes sell off a lot of bit. So, that's one of the things you have to watch for. As far as Juno Therapeutics, they IPO'd at $24, and today they're at $51.11. They are not making money. They're not going to make money this year. They're not going to make money next year. They have no future earnings outlook yet. This is a story stock. They develop cell-based cancer immunotherapies for the treatment of cancer. very common for these kinds of stocks to be exciting. But I don't invest in any companies that don't make money. And George, I suggest that you don't either. I don't think anybody should invest in a company that doesn't make money. Do they have a good story? Well, yeah, they're having their partnership with big pharmaceutical companies, and there's things going on, but they don't have any sales and they don't have any profits. So for the long haul, no, this is not a stock that you buy for the long haul because they don't have any earnings. They don't have a business yet. There's no business here. George, appreciate the call. Thank you. You know me, everybody. Company doesn't make money, I don't want it. Why would you want it? Why do you want to buy a company that doesn't make money? Because it has a good story. So it's a story stock. It's a good story. What if the story is false? It's just a story. Anybody can come up with a story. I can say anything. I can make up any story I want. And apparently they have a good story. People are buying into it. Doesn't mean the story is not true, but I don't care. I'm not going to buy anything that doesn't make money. Not something I want to do. Five worst selling cars. And I have you know that some of these cars I never heard of, just so you know. For the first one, the worst one, I never heard of it, Nissan Juke, J-U-K-E. Their sales went down 47.9% in 2015. Why did their sales go down? I think because the dang car is ugly. Have you ever seen a picture of that? I think it's so ugly that some people think it looks great. It's neat. But I think the car is ugly, and that's why the sales, everybody who wanted one of those ugly cars probably already bought it. Chrysler Town & Country minivan. Can't get less glamorous than that. Well, they went down almost 46% this year. And I think it was supposed to, there was probably competition in that van space. Better vans, probably. Cadillac CTS down 41%. I think that car is a really good-looking car and a good, nice car, but maybe they tried to go up market with it and and cost more, and it seems like that really hurt sales. A Subaru BRZ. It's kind of like a sports car, not a very good-looking sports car, not bad-looking, but apparently it doesn't have much sporty about it. Down 39% sales this year. And the last one is an Audi Allroad. An Audi Allroad down 34% this year in sales. I think all you have to know is what it is, and you'll say, oh, that's probably why. It's a station wagon. No one wants station wagons anymore. It's going to be hard for it to maintain sales after the first year because those people who wanted a station wagon probably already bought it. And there's not a lot of people who want one. Time to wrap it up for the day, everybody, and for the week. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, and for Justin Klein and everybody at KPP Financial, thank you for listening today, and I hope you have a good weekend. I really do. So let's do, but look, we want to get back together on Monday, same time. See you then.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.